fantastic.
Woohoo!
I like a loud microphone, amen? Yeah. Pastor said, be comfortable and be yourself. And that can be a dangerous thing sometimes, right? So for those of you, this is my first time here. It's a privilege to be here. Pastor, thank you so much for having me. My name is Jake McDonald. My wife, Rachel, and my oldest daughter, Brooke, are here. My wife and I, we founded a ministry called Day of Hope Ministries. It's an evangelistic ministry that comes alongside churches and helps them plan and fund evangelistic outreaches into their community. And so that's a little bit about what my wife and I do ministry-wise. I also serve at North Point Bible College as the men's resident director, as kind of a live-in pastor to men and women training for the ministry. But I didn't come here to talk about myself. I came here to talk about the Lord, talk about the Word of God. You know, how many of you guys know Sundays are a unique thing, right? You wake up in the morning, you're getting ready for church. How many of you guys have kids here? Be honest. Kids, right? Young kids. How many have young kids? How many of you, when you get in the car on a Sunday morning and you're heading to church, you have this thought, am I even a Christian? I had an hour and a half drive to church this morning, right? So getting out the door every Sunday morning is a little chaotic. You know, four kids, four personalities. I say all the time, my youngest daughter, you can pray for me. She's half princess, half mob boss. And we're trying to rein that in, but she gets a little bit from her father. But there are times when you're like, man, am I even a Christian? The thoughts, the attitudes, the actions, what is going on? So Sundays can be a unique moment, amen? What I want to talk to you about this morning is just that. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean? Somebody say, what does it mean? No, what does it mean to be a Christian? What is it? A son, a daughter of God, born of God, Christ-like, a disciple. You know, when I was in Bible college, one of the things that we had to do, we took a class called Discipleship in the Church. And I believe Dave Munley has preached here before. Does that name sound familiar to you? He was my discipleship in the church professor. And he taught us that a disciple of Christ is one who follows Christ in a relationship with him, empowered by the Holy Spirit to live out the teachings of Christ. So what does it mean to be a Christian, a follower of Christ, a disciple? I want to tell you this morning that there is a great depth of a revelation in the Word of God as to what it means to be a Christian, that if you will grab a hold of this revelation, it will transform every single area of your life. See, we can say I'm a Christian, we can say I'm a disciple, I'm a son of God, I'm a daughter of God, but a lot of times that's just Christian language that we throw around that we really don't allow to penetrate deep within our spirits. See, we say it out of our words, but it doesn't really transform our lives. There's a transformative aspect of being a Christian that will completely change everything in your life. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. What does it mean to be a Christian? If you have your Bibles, open up with me to Colossians chapter 1. This is Paul writing to the church, the Colossians. He says, this message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now has been revealed to the people of God. For God wanted them to know the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. Many translations say this is the secret. This is the gospel in a nutshell. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What does it mean to be a Christian? It literally means that the life of Christ is inside of you. Yes, we are followers. Yes, we are disciples. Yes, we are sons. Yes, we are daughters. But we have the very life of Christ inside of us. And if you understand that truth, it transforms everything in your life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what it means to be a Christian. But who is Christ? He's your Savior. He's the Son of God. He's the King of Kings. He's the one that came to bring peace on earth. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. Who is Christ? Colossians 1 tells us exactly who Christ is, beginning in verse 15. Colossians 1, 15 says that Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything. He was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in heavenly realms and on earth. He made all things we can see and the things we cannot see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through Christ and for Christ. He existed before anything else. And he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body, the body that you and I now belong to. He is the beginning, the supreme over all who rise from the dead. He is first in everything. Pay attention to Colossians 1:19. It says, "For God in his fullness was pleased to live in Christ." What Colossians 1, 15 to 19 is saying here, that Christ is the fullness of God. Hebrews 1, 3 says that everything about Jesus represents the character and nature of God. Christ is the fullness of God. And if the fullness of God dwells in Christ, and Christ dwells in you, therefore the fullness of God dwells within every believer. That's what it means to be a Christian. It doesn't just mean to be saved. It doesn't just mean to be set apart. It means to have the fullness of God Almighty living on the inside of you. And that transforms everything. I said that transforms everything. An old-time Pentecostal theologian, E.W. Kenyon, once wrote, "The new birth is not merely the forgiveness of sins. It's not simply a fresh start. The new birth is the actual impartation of God's nature into your spirit. Christ comes to live inside of you. His life now becomes your life. His nature now becomes your nature. You're not just a saved sinner anymore. You are a new creation with the very life of God flowing through your spirit. You see, when Christ lives inside of you, you have access to everything he has access to because he's inside of you. That's what it means to be a Christian. What does it mean for you? It means that, number one, you have a new identity as a child of God. Galatians 2:20, Paul wrote, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives within me." So I live in this earthly body, trusting in the Son of God who loved and gave himself for me. He says in Romans 6, 3 and 4, "Have you forgotten that when you were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and we were buried with Christ by baptism, just as Christ was raised from the dead by his glorious power. Now we also may live new lives." 2 Corinthians 5, 17, a scripture no doubt with a great pastor that you have that you're all familiar with. It says that if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. It says the old is gone and behold, all things have been made new. All things. It says the old is gone and behold, all things have been made new. To be a Christian means that you've been made new. That there is newness inside of you. As I was meditating on this scripture the past week and a half, this Christ in me. What does that mean? What does that look like? How does it transform? You know, interesting enough, my phone started acting up. And I'm going somewhere with this. And all, yeah, it's, there's a point, right? I'm just ramble. I do walk a little bit. I'm sorry. Walk a little slower. I told myself, walk slowly. Last time I preached, I watched the playback, and I was like, whoom, whoom, whoom. The cameraman's like this. You know, I had to pray for his back after the service, amen? But anyway, that was a joke. You can laugh. My phone started acting up, and like most people, I like a good deal. Anyone like a good deal here? Right, I'm a bargain hunter. I'm a thrifter. My wife's like shaking her head. You know, I bought a pair of boots the other day for $13. You want to know what I sold them for? $500 on eBay. I like a good deal. $400 on eBay. I probably should have held out for the full five, but you got to take it. Anyway, I like a good deal. My phone started acting up. And right away, when my phone starts acting up, you think, man, you need a new phone. And phones cost the same price as computers these days. And, you know, the camera is what's acting up. And as a father of four kids, you get a bajillion photos. So it's time for a new phone. So right away, what do? I go on the Apple store because we're all hooked on that these days. And I go to certified refurbished. Right? I don't want to buy a brand new phone because brand new phones are expensive. I want to buy a certified refurbished phone. Why? Because a certified refurbished phone is basically a brand new phone that Apple puts a new battery in. Right? And you can get them for about $300, $400 cheaper. And I like a good deal like many of you. So certified refurbished. And the Lord hit me in my spirit with that. Certified refurbished. And he said, you know, far too many Christians live their life as a certified refurbished version of their old self rather than living their life walking in the newness of Christ. You're not just a little bit better than what you once were. You're not somebody that's bound, stuck in your old habits that Christ slightly set free from. The Bible says you are a new creature, new, brand new, something different, something set apart, not stuck in your old ways, brand new. You have a new identity. You're not a certified version of your old self. See, the problem with viewing yourself as something slightly better than what you once were is you kind of devalue yourself a little bit. See, because a certified refurbished good is cheaper. You were bought with a very high price. The precious blood of Jesus Christ was spilt on Calvary for you to make you brand new, not a better version of what you once were. You see, being in Christ, being a Christian, having the living hope of glory of Jesus Christ on the inside of you gives you the identity that you are brand new. Absolutely brand new. You're not just a Christian. You have Christ on the inside of you. Brand spanking new. It's crucial that you understand that because it changes everything in your life. You might say, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've done. It's but by the grace of God that I'm standing here before you this morning. See, there's no sin that God can't forgive. There's no problem that God can't switch around. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter the pedigree that you have. Christ's blood is sufficient for everything you've ever done. So stop viewing yourself in your past and start viewing yourself as something brand new. Colossians 1, 21 to 23, when talking about believers, it says, this includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, the result of Christ's reconciliation is this. He has brought you into his own presence. You are holy and blameless, and you stand before your heavenly Father without fault. I came here to tell you this morning that you need to stop believing the lies that the enemy has put into your mind. You need to stop living in the past, viewing yourself as something that you once were. Because the reality is, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you have been made right, you have been made righteous, and you have been made holy in front of God Almighty, the heaven, the King of heavens and earth. Your new identity changes everything about your life. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Why do you think it is that the enemy is constantly trying to attack your mind with your past faults and failures? Because the more you view yourself as your old self, or just a slightly better version of that, it prevents you from walking in the newness of Christ. Why? Because Proverbs, as you think, so you are. The Bible says about Abraham, as he believed, he became the father of many nations. You need to believe about the newness that Christ has imparted into you, and you'll begin to walk in it. Secondly, what does it mean to be a Christian? It means that you walk in a greater measure of authority. Believers experience and reveal the glory of God as they grow in their understanding and exercising their God-given authority through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, if you're ever going to live a life of authority, the same life that Jesus lived, because again, he's on the inside of you, you have to understand that you've been made new, that Christ is actually on the inside of you, because you've been called to walk in the same authority that Jesus Christ has. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. How many of you have your Bibles? Raise them up. If you don't, open your phone. Just keep it on silent, amen? The president of our Bible college always says, you got to start in the Word, stay in the Word, and finish in the Word. And in my sermon notes, as I have things written out, all the scriptures are in red. It just draws my attention. And the more I've preached over the years, the more my notes are just in red. Because it really doesn't matter what I say. It matters what God says, right? You're never wrong when you quote God, right? So you got to start in the Word, stay in the Word, and finish in the Word. So go with me to the book of Ephesians. We're talking about the authority of God. Ephesians 1, verse 19, Paul writes, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in a place of honor at God's right hand in heavenly realms. Now he, meaning Christ, is far above. Everyone say far above. I preached a sermon once talking about far above, and I brought a ladder. And for the sake of time, I didn't bring a ladder today, but I stood on the very top of that ladder to emphasize how far Christ is above, right? I can take a step up here, and this is slightly above. This is a little bit more above, but this is not far above. I think we sometimes have in our mind that Christ is just slightly above the things of this world. The Bible says that he is seated far above any ruler or authority or power, or leader, or anything else. Anything else. You know, I looked up that word. You know what it means? Anything else. Christ is seated above anything else in the seat of authority. This mic is phenomenal. It's hot. I like it. I'm being myself. Christ is seated far above anything and everything else, anything you could face, everything you'll ever face. Christ Jesus is seated at a place of authority above it all. Verse 22 says, God has put all things under the authority of Christ, and he made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. Christ's authority is for the benefit of you and I. We are the church. We are members of his body. Christ is seated in the seat of authority far above everything for our benefit. Not for his benefit, although he does benefit from it. Not so that he can rule and reign over it all, but he rules and reigns over it all. Christ is seated at this place of authority for the benefit of you and I. But Paul doesn't stop there. He says, you were once dead because your disobedience and many sins, that you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world. This is Ephesians 2:4. But God is so rich in mercy that he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ Jesus from the dead. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. So let me ask you a question this morning. If Christ is seated far above everything else and anything else, and the Bible is very clear in Ephesians that we are seated with him, then where are you seated? Far above. Where is that? Far above everything. At the seat of authority. You and I are seated with Christ in heavenly realms. The Bible says at the right hand of the Father, which if you study what that means, that's the seat of authority. You and I, the church of the living Christ, because he dwells within us, we are seated in a seat of authority. See, there's an authority that comes with being a Christian. Yes, there's an identity, and you need to understand that you've been made new. But that's not good enough. You need to recognize that because you've been made new, you've been seated with Christ in a seat of authority, and therefore you have authority over the situations of this world. That means you have authority over sickness. That means you have authority over disease. That means you have authority over poverty. Lack. Anything in your life that is of the devil, you have authority over it. You have the authority over yourself. That's the hardest one. Why do you think when Paul says about the fruit of the Spirit, he says, be self-controlled. Patience is another one. Patience is a hard one. But guess what? You have authority over yourself to be patient. I tell myself that with four kids. My wife would say, I'm not very patient. But I do have authority over it. I do have those checks in my spirit when something happens. No, I can pause. I'm not a victim. I'm not a part of my circumstance. Why? Because I'm new and I have authority. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that there might be something in your life that you can stand up in the authority of Christ Jesus and put a stop to it? Because that's what being a Christian is about. It's about having dominion here on this earth. See, when God created the heavens and the earth, he gave dominion to Adam. He gave him the ability to rule over all the animals, over the birds, over the fish. He said, go and have dominion. But because of sin, Adam gave that dominion and that authority over to Satan. And now we have this world lacking paradise. But the Bible says there was a second Adam, Jesus Christ, who came and he defeated death. He defeated hell. He defeated the grave. He defeated sickness. He defeated suffering. He defeated poverty. He defeated lack. And he went and took back the authority from Jesus Christ. And what is he doing today? He's giving it back to his church, his body, the ones that have Jesus Christ living on the inside. You see, there's an old time hymn that says, I got something on the inside, working on the outside. Everybody hear that? Something on the inside, working on the outside. It's referencing the Holy Spirit. But guess what? The same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead is alive within you. And it quickens you. It makes you more like Christ, walking in his authority. I hope you're grasping this morning. This is absolutely crucial to living a Christian life. What does it mean to be a Christian? Bless God, I'm born again. Bless God, my sins are forgiven. But if it doesn't impact my life now, it's half gospel. It's half gospel. And I'm a full gospel preacher. I came here to tell you that there's a full gospel. That yes, you're going to die one day and meet Jesus in heaven. But the Bible says that he wants to bring heaven here to earth. And he's given you the power, the ability, and the authority to bring heaven down here to this earth. That's what it means to be a Christian. Pastor said be done by 11:30 so we can eat. Bless God. I'm drinking water. I'm getting ready. Say, I'm getting ready. You're getting ready. Getting ready for God to do something. Amen. Romans 8:31 says, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? He who dares accuse us, whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? No. Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or are hungry or destitute or in danger? No. Despite all things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ. You know, you were created for victory. You were created for dominion. You weren't created to just love God, although that is an aspect. You were created to advance the kingdom of God here on this earth through the dominion, the power, and the authority that Jesus Christ has living on the inside of you. Because there's Christ on the inside, and it should be working on your outside. If it's not working on your outside, you're not working it. Kenneth Hagin used to always say, the word of God works, and if it's not working, you're not working the word. Right, this principle of Christ living on the inside of you, if it's not changing the outside of you, you have not grasped the fullness of the revelation that Christ is actually dwelling within you, because there's a power, there's an authority, and there's a dominion that you're required to walk in as a believer. You don't have to be a victim of your circumstance. You can actually be the transformative power that changes your circumstances, changes your kids' circumstances. Many of you in here, you might have kids that have wandered away from the Lord. You know, you can speak to the demons. You can command the blindness. The Bible says that the people of this world, that the God of this age has blinded the eyes of the people so they can't understand the truth. As a mother, as a father, as the head of your household, still, looking at a patriarchal society and a religion, you can command the blinders off the eyes of your children and expect them to actually begin to see the goodness of God. You can lay your hands on the sick and see them changed. And guess what? See the goodness of God. That leads me to my third and final point. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means that you walk and work with a supernatural ability. So what does it mean to be a Christian? It means you have a new identity. It means that you walk in greater authority. And that you do the works with a supernatural ability. John 14:12 says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done. Heal the sick. Provide for the needy. Feed 5,000. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done. And even greater works. Why? Because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it. So that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Then he goes on, one of the very last interactions Jesus had with his disciples. He said in John 20:21, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Say, I've been sent. Say, I've been sent. I've been sent. I've been sent. I'm originally from Central Pennsylvania. I got no business being here other than like it kind of looks like home. Your mountains, you know, I'm born and raised fly fisherman, trout streams. I've converted to striper fishing. That's got me hooked. But I got no business being in New England other than the fact that God sent me here. Where's God sent you? To the workplace, to your family, to your neighborhood, to your community, to Springfield. Anyone here do inner city ministry in Springfield, feed the homeless? You have? Okay. It just came to my mind. Good. You should do that. Springfield's one of the top 10 least Christian cities in America. I actually think it might be top 5 least church cities in America. You know, 6 out of the 10 are in New England. 6 out of the 10 least Christian cities are in New England. The top 5 least Christian states: Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island. No, actually, Rhode Island's not on the list. Maine, Vermont, Bernie Land. We got to pray for Vermont. I love Vermont. It's beautiful. Vermont needs Jesus. People need Jesus. We've been sent. I've been sent. I've felt like God's called me to New England. He told me to revive the 5 states of New England, to preach the gospel in New England. I've been sent. Where has God sent you? Jesus said, as he was sent into the world, so God is sending you into your world with power, with authority, and with dominion to do the same miracles that Jesus did. Those who believe in me, the works that I do, they will do. See, what it means to be a believer is to not just come to church on Sunday. You know, coming to church on Sunday doesn't make you any more of a Christian as going to a Chinese restaurant makes you Chinese. I mean, you get the food on the inside of you. When you come to church, you're supposed to get the revelation that there's a living Savior, Jesus Christ, living on the inside, working on the inside, demonstrating his power on the outside. Why? Because God is sending you to transform your community. God is sending you to transform your home. God is sending you to transform this state. How? By doing the works that Jesus did. He who believes in me, the same works that I do, even greater works will you do. 2 Peter 1:3 says that God's divine power has given you everything you need to live a godly life. That godly life means godlikeness. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and say you're God, because Pastor would immediately take over the service. But there is a likeness of God on the inside of you through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the living life of Jesus Christ on the inside, that should cause you to operate and flow like God here on this earth, with authority, with power, with dominion. The works that Jesus did, he wants to do in and through your life. He doesn't want you to always run and ask somebody else to pray. He wants you to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. He wants you to bring a meal to somebody and see it multiply. He wants you to have overwhelming prosperity so that you can begin to meet the needs of others around you. The same works. That Jesus did, he wants to do in and through your life. That's what it means to be a Christian. Thank God you're born again. But there's so much more to being a Christian. We make it so complex, yet it's so simple. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means Christ lives on the inside of me. Hallelujah. If you're thankful for that, give the Lord a shout of praise. Say hallelujah. Thank you, God, that you live on the inside of me. Thank you, God, that you work on the outside of me. Thank you, God, that you work through me. Christ on the inside. You see, it all starts there. It all starts with Christ on the inside, the hope of glory. And so in closing this morning, I want to ask you, do you have Christ on the inside of you? Is there visible evidence of it on the outside of you? Because I'll tell you, if there's not evidence, if there's not fruit, the root might not be there. You know, Jesus himself said you can't pick good fruit from a bad tree. You can't pick bad fruit from a good tree. Is Christ on the inside of you? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You know, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is everlasting life through Christ Jesus. You're right, you know, when you hear Paul say, I've crucified my life, to lay down your life. You know, at Zion Bible College, when I attended their freshman orientation, they used to bring all the freshmen in, and first thing they'd say is, you know, I know y'all were the shining stars or the smooth stones of your youth group. You know, I was this kid training for the ministry. I said, but here you're just another pebble on the beach. Right? You just cut you right down. And then there's a phrase. I'm bringing a phrase back this year. And we have it on a plaque outside the campus. It says, "Come and die. Welcome to the ministry. Come and die." Right? Paul said he was crucified. Come and die. Sign me up. Can I tell you, if all I needed to obtain what I have right now in Christ was to let go of my old life, that's a very small price to pay. In all reality, the past life, a life without Jesus, crucifying that life is a very small price to pay for a life with Jesus on the inside of me. A life of blessing, a life of provision, a life of a future. Do you have Jesus on the inside of you? It all starts there. You can think you have a new identity. You can think you have authority. You can think that you can go out and do the works of Jesus. But if Jesus is not on the inside of you, you will fail every single time and wander around this world frustrated at why things aren't working out. Do you have Jesus on the inside of you? So if you would stand with me as I close, I want to give an opportunity, two opportunities. First one is the most important. If you hear nothing that I've said all morning, hear this. If you have never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, he's not on the inside of you. You may have come to church today thinking that you're part of his church, but if Christ is not on the inside of you, you have no part in it. You're here. But it won't, this stuff, it won't work. You have to have a moment in your life where you've personally and publicly accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I want to give you that opportunity this morning. Is there anyone here under the sound of my voice that has never accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior? You've never laid down your old life to take on this new life of Jesus Christ. And you'll be honest with me and say, "Jake, I want to do that this morning." Is there anyone here? I want to give that opportunity before we move on. Anyone, please raise your hand. I won't embarrass you. Okay, praise God. I'm out waiting. We're moving on. You have to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior for any of this to work. Secondly, I want to give the opportunity to pray. I don't know if you can play some music or something, or maybe it has to be up here. If there's a situation or circumstance in your life that seems to have dominion over you, that seems to have authority over you, and you need prayer, you want God to intervene in your circumstance, I'm going to give you the opportunity. Pastor and I'll have my wife come forward as well. Absolutely. We're going to lay hands on you, and we're going to believe God. Why? Because we understand that there's an authority there.
Yes, sir.
If you need prayer over anything in your life, I want to give you the opportunity to come forward. And if so, please come quickly.
Absolutely.
Don't wait. It always takes one to come first.
Yeah. Let's pray.
Come. Keep coming. Absolutely. See, Jesus is in the business of healing. Jesus is in the business of restoring.
Yes,
sir. You know, Paul said that he's given me the ministry of reconciliation. Mm-hmm. God wants to reconcile all things back to you. Back to the garden, back to his goodness. God wants you to experience his goodness in his life, in your life. And I believe that as you come this morning in faith, you know, everybody that came to Jesus in faith got what they were asking for.
Yep.
It's not a mystery. It's literally the power of God working through the life of a believer, working through Jesus, doing the works of Christ. So if you need prayer, I want you to come.
Yeah, come on. Come, folks. Here. Did Pastor Jake and Rachel pray with us? They're going to pray over you. Never hesitate. There's power in prayer.
Come and see.
I got a big job. I'm not buying the team, so I'm going to.